iPod and found out a phrase, drunk as a skunk. Any moonshiner that's pulled the skunks out of the fermenting.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. The smell would attract them. They get in there and want to.
Thank you.
And they drowned in it.
Wow.
And he said the other place in my question is the smell of the emanating of the way a skunk smells, and any alcoholic, it can actually smell it coming off of
it.
But the main place it came from is the skunks would go in to eat the fermenting corn mash, and they fall in and drown. And people that are drunk as a skunk are about, like, in that state.
Yeah.
With the eyeball!
Thank you, Jesus.
God, the thing wasn't on. No. No, maybe the listeners needed to know where the drunk as a skunk came from, but thanks. Isn't that amazing? You can go on the iPod and find out anything. There's a paradox there. It could become the world's word of God, you know. The world's Bible. You guys ready? I'll tell you what. It's 11:25. Do you guys want to, does anybody have a couple questions you sat on or got since last week that you want to do from now till the end? Or do you want to just talk a little bit about something else? You got a couple questions because there's something else we can. You got a question? Does anybody else have any questions? You had a question you didn't get to ask last time or one came up since then? Anybody? Let me see. Just get it. Okay, we'll go questions. Daniel.
Yeah, what is like a, what our society calls falling in love, that whole thing, like you're pointing out that there's great self-centeredness in that, and there definitely is. My question is, like, do you think that whole thing, that there's any part of that God intended for people to have that sort of thing?
The world can't define love. It's human emotion. It's human emotion, but it can't be without self-centered. See, the reason you can see it's not God is because as quick as you can fall in love, you can fall out of love, and it's impossible to scripturally fall out of love. You don't fall in and fall out. Love never fails. Love takes no account of a suffer wrong. Love doesn't seek its own. So when people even get in the world, they get to the place, and they can get that way in the church, to watch these catchphrases. Oh my God, I can't live without you. Exactly. There's the giveaway. It can't be love. It's so needs driven. But watch this. Some women just so need to hear that. Oh, you can't live without me? Because she has no purpose. She's in identity crisis. She needs to feel good about herself. And all of a sudden this young man is mesmerized by her, it seems to her. And he just gets in this heat and romantic whole thing. And it's all about what you do for me. And I can't live without you. I'd be lost without you. Do you hear the idolatry in that? And it's all about what you're receiving from the relationship. And you really have very little to give without Jesus this way. And a lot of what we give is for what we can gain. You do for me, I'll do for you. A psychologist would sit you down and tell you a marriage is 50-50. A marriage is supposed to be love. Because if it's 50-50 and your spouse seems 40-60, that's an issue, right? And that's not Jesus. A marriage isn't 50-50. A marriage is I love you. Not do you love me. Wow. Would you like to get up and preach that? What are we? I just heard you talk.
Yes, I would.
What'd you say? I didn't hear you. Were you just being silly with him, or did you have something?
Love should be, marriage should be 33, 33, and 33.
There you go. Just everybody together in one. Jesus in the center.
Right.
Yeah, I know what you mean. We'll give that to Jesus. It's the love that makes up for the deficits. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's human empathy, human emotion. There's eros love. That's like a passion driven sexual. There's phileo love. There's definitions for love. There's words for love. A lot of them come out of human nature, human emotion, human. But when man, here's what you have to be careful, guys. And I don't talk about this much, but I feel in your question provoked to just say this. We study human life and we say, well, we're this way because, and well, when you're a certain age, this happens. And even the testosterone stuff, women, the whole menstrual cycle thing, the whole, you know, the moody now I'm this. And then all of a sudden it can become just the way it is. And you actually give allowance for it. Next thing you know, we're stereotyped and marked. And watch. We're studying a fallen being that is not what they were created to be, calling it our normal. See, I don't even have room for that. You can't sell me that. You can't tell me I'm a certain way because that's the way we are. I'm the way He created me, and that's my quest, to walk in that truth. I'm not subject to that natural reality. I'm in the world and not of it. Is that hypo-spiritual, wacko-spiritual mentality? No, it's just reality to me. When Adam ate the tree, everything changed. And we were born into Adam. And we have learned through natural reasoning, and that's why I can only hook up to human psychology to the level of understanding why people are thinking the way they're thinking and saying what they're saying to expose that and define that, but we're not bound by human psychology. I'm bound by the Spirit of God. I'll only, you know, a lot of the natural things we say, studying the human anatomy and analyzing man and his body functions and how he is and who he is, doesn't fly with me at all, because you're studying a fallen person.
You'll never make a monkey out of me.
That's absolutely. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're studying a fallen being. When man fell from grace and from God, he was no longer love. He was self-centered, and he was in his own strength. He was deceived. He was under the power of the enemy. And everything went haywire. It's not your created value. A lot of these things aren't your created. Why do you think Paul would say to Timothy that the women would be saved even in childbearing if they continue in the faith? Because the curse that came upon the woman through sin, the thing that the repercussion, I should say, that came upon woman from sin was that it was sorrow she would conceive. And et cetera, et cetera, and all the labor and the contraction. That's not how she was made. She wasn't created for that. But because that's our normal, that's our natural and everybody's experience, and that's how every woman birthed a child. From now on, nobody's ever really stood and strongly challenged that in Christ. Said, wait, I'm redeemed. I'm not under what Eve fell under because of sin, because sin is no more. So everything that he spoke over Adam and Eve is no longer my reality. Because sin's removed. The effects of sin are gone. The law of the Spirit of life has made me free from the law of sin and death. So people started to get a hold of that, and now there's women that have had babies without any pain. Any pain, because they understand. And then there's women that just want that experience. So they claim it and confess it, and we've done that a lot in the church, and we turn this truth into a method we're hoping works for us. There's a big difference between the two. Quoting promises over a sick person and seeing the purpose and reason in God healing. There's a big difference between the two. All of a sudden you read a book on how I had a child with no pain, and now everybody's confessing and proclaiming and thank you Jesus, I hope Jesus. But there's women that have had children without any pain now. I actually know personally a couple, even John Roth and his wife here got a hold of that. They have, how many kids do the Roths have? 12 or something? 14. She just popping them out, man, like a Hebrew woman. Just boop, 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 boop. Because it's fun, Jeff, man. This is fun. I don't feel nothing. After the first, I think it was about six, she had like six, and then they got this revelation, and she didn't have any child labor pains or nothing, from what I understand, for the next 8 kids. So she was like, it's so fun being pregnant and just popping them out. Poop. Another baby. Poop. That's amazing. But think about it. You know, and even saying your desire shall be for your husband. See, because all of a sudden there wasn't fullness. There was need and want. And look at the insecurity. More so than men. Men handle it a different way. More so than the men. Women, under great pressure to fit in. Under great pressure to feel valued, to feel beautiful, to feel worthy, to feel lovely, to feel lovable. Women, under a great, your desire will be a man. You know, phrases like, man, can't live with him, can't live without him. It's the fall of man. It's the fall of man. And the only reason you can make a comment like that is because your whole desire is for yourself, trying to fill something that was missing back then. You see what I mean? So it's just all twisted up. That is out of the fullness. Can I just be straight how God intended relationships and marriages to be? Are you guys all alright? Is there a whole lot more going on than what I'm teaching? Tom, stand in the corner, back there in the corner. No! Oh my gosh, he was going. Oh, thank you, you're amazing. That made me laugh. He just got up and went, like, no, I'm kidding. He was just, I know he was. He was just gonna go stand there. We need to recover, guys. Somebody pray. Nobody must have prayed today. Listen how a relationship works. You can find it in Genesis. God's looking at the man and he sees himself in the man. The man's not lacking anything. The fullness of who God is in the man. Don't you dare try to tell me he was alone. It says that he was alone and there was none comparable, which means there was nowhere to reproduce and multiply the beauty of who he was. It doesn't mean he was lonely. How can you be lonely when you're filled with the fullness of God? He's not lonely. Man wasn't lonely. He had nowhere to manifest and multiply the glory of who he was. There was nowhere to bless with the fullness of his life. There was nowhere for the river to run. Hello? And you precious, wonderful women, your created value was from that place. You were birthed out of that place. God reached into that place and brought forth the woman. Out of the fullness of God in the man. Not because man had need, not because man was lonely, not because he wasn't getting any younger, you know, not because he had some kind of itch. I've shared the phrase, I've shared it in a Randy Clark conference with 1,500 people. And Randy wasn't there, he was watching on live webcast. And I was preaching and I realized where I was at and I had to go there. And I looked at the camera and I said, Randy, forgive me, hold on tight. Because I said, God didn't create Eve because Adam was walking around with an erection saying, what do I do with this thing? Hey, that's how I got the revelation. I was in my bedroom and realized that my desire was at the expense of another. That my desire was dependent on another at the cost of another, whether they were agreeable or just yielding. I had need. And I realized I didn't have love. I had desire. And I realized that, watch what I said, tears pouring down my face. And as a man did something that most men won't even dare look at, let alone do. I faced my definition of manhood and I said out of my mouth with nobody looking, with the bedroom door closed, you could not have made me this way. Cause it's selfish. And you're not. I said, I've gotten this definition by living in the world. It's a locker room definition of manhood. That's what I said to God. And it's not who you created me to be. And I said, you're the anointed one. You're the Lord Jesus. Only you can break this off of me and make me like you made me in the first place. What I was saying to him was that desire, Mary. What I was saying is, I don't know how to get there, but I want to. And guess what happened? He went, breathed right down over me. I'll never forget it. It was amazing. And the lie came off of me. And I got restored back to my original value. Because I was a prisoner to what I called manhood and what I coveted and cleaved to and thought was an awesome thing. It was driven by flesh and selfishness and need at the cost of whoever. Even devaluing others in that sense. I shared this topic down the church was out on a little bit where when I first met my wife, I was trying to make it with my wife. And she said, Dan, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? She's 23 and a half. I'm 19. I'm thinking, this is a woman, not a girl. I need to make this happen, man. I'm going to tell my friends this was a woman. That's what I was thinking. As a 19-year-old, I couldn't wait for this to happen so I could tell them, hey, what's the oldest girl you were ever with? That's how twisted we are. Now you tell me that she's not more than that. But because of insecurity, because of low esteem, precious women created in the image of God will find themselves in that position, feeding that lie at the cost of their integrity, only so a man can feel better about himself because he scored. And it's every man for himself. It's a rat race. You can be in a rat race and win and you're still a rat. The winner of a rat race is still a rat. Hello? Oh, I'm preaching good. It's amazing. I feel that. So here I am at 19. She says, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? I'm thinking you're 23, duh. So I keep moving in this direction and she's like, Dan, what are you doing? I was like, what? We're Christians. And you think I'd have broken, repented, and cried for being a knothead. Instead, inside I was like, you got to be kidding me. Christianity in my way again. Why does she have to care? Why can't she not care just for now? Because I'd have rather her fulfill my desire and feel bad later, because who really cares about her even though I say I love her? As long as she meets my need, that's how twisted sin is. It's good to preach this stuff with everybody, especially you young ladies in the room and even us guys. Some of you guys came to me after I had to turn the mic off the other week. We're getting close today. Not quite. With tears in your eyes, sincerely. And said, thank you, and I appreciate and honor you guys. You know who you are. Said, I was so convicted. It was so real. I could so relate. And I was like, oh, my God. Because when I see the tears in those men's eyes, it tells me their hearts are for Jesus and pure. And they don't want to live the way they've lived if it's not God. But they don't have the power to change themselves. But we can agree with truth and say, I don't ever want to be that again. And grace will come and make that your reality. I tried to, that thing I turned the mic off on, I tried to share with three pastors in my life and they all shut me down. And said, stop, I don't want to hear anymore. They all did this. Stop, I don't want to hear anymore. I enjoy my sex life, thank you. And I said, you have no clue what you're saying, what you're turning off right now. You have no idea how you're robbing yourself and your wife. You have no idea. Didn't even want to hear it. They didn't even want to hear it. Which means, we serve God and stay alive in areas. It means we incorporate Him into our life instead of letting Him become our life. Pastors, don't want to hear it. Why wouldn't you at least want to hear it? You don't have to buy in. Why? Because they didn't want the conviction to haunt them. Because they didn't have the faith to let go of what they enjoyed and called good. Whoa. So here's how a relationship works. You grow in Jesus, you get filled with God, and out of the strength of who He is in your life, there's a grace to be joined to another, and out of the strength of their life and the fullness of God in their life, to become one and look just like Him in synergism. That's the intention of God. Here's what it usually is. Oh my God, I'm 22 and still don't even have a boyfriend. Man, I'm 23 and I haven't even been engaged. And the guy's now he's just hoping somebody falls for it. It's just crazy what happens. The need, and I'm not getting any younger. Boy, I'd love to have children. Next thing you know, we're in a Christian dating service. That's just the world painted Christian. Okay, tape's running. There's no such thing as a Christian dating service. It's ridiculous. Hello? It's ridiculous.
Amen.
Thanks, Wiley. I was already encouraged and I didn't feel alone, but now I really feel good. That was a strong amen. I've had Christian after Christian come to me, ask me to pray for their Christian dating service, and see, there's no such thing. I had these women come meet with me one day. Now they have a worldly one. I see them on a commercial. I've seen them on a commercial. I've seen the lady. I went, oh my gosh, that's the lady. They came to me and wanted me to pray over them and give them wisdom. And the lady said, I think we ought to go to Dan. Just know him. He has wisdom for this kind of stuff. And we just want to do this where God can bless it. And I totally derailed it. And they were so offended because she had already laid her life down for it. So this whole thing has become her identity. And now the thought of me not agreeing, she was vehement, defending, mad, and like, what do you know? Serious, like bad, bad, like bleh. Isn't it amazing how far we'll compromise to fulfill our own dreams? Then all of a sudden I saw her face. I don't even remember where I was. I might have been at my mother-in-law's. And they turned on a football game or something. And all of a sudden it was this dating service. And I looked and it was the girl. And she was the owner and president and CEO. And I went, oh my goodness. It wasn't even Christian. It was just come and hook up. Guys, I can't say this passionate enough because it would overwhelm you if I was passionate as I feel. Knowing God is our calling. And being in fellowship with Him is our destiny, and everything makes sense from that place. We're not trying to follow the desire of the world in the name of the Lord and paint it Christian. We are living with the honor and integrity of a life laid down for His glory. I don't have needs. I have Him. If I was a single man, And I met, if Vaughn, help me Jesus. Okay, thanks. Okay, Jenny's sitting here, okay? If I was a single man, and I met Jenny, and I think Jenny's awesome, she's sweet, man, she's godly. Wow, she's just beautiful from the inside out. And I like her. I think she's awesome. And I'm single, and I'm available. And all of a sudden, I'm just thinking, man, that would be awesome if she would like me. Man, she is like a dream come true. See, that's how it works. That's how relationships start. And we don't realize, me in my shoes don't realize that it's at the expense of Jenny and all the demand on Jenny, and all I'm doing is feeding on the strengths of her life. If I have need and weakness, if I'm not seeking the Lord, if He's not my all in all, then I'm reducing her value, and all of a sudden I'm making a draw on who she is to meet the need of who I am instead of out of who I am loving her. And I have to realize at some point and have enough integrity in my relationship in Christ that no person deserves that. She's worth more than that. I'm not created at her expense to have a demand, an expectation, a need. It's out of love that you join together. It's very misunderstood in the church. That's why there's so many issues in marriages. Because we have need. Doesn't mean God can't make it right once you're married, and don't dare interpret what I'm saying as, well, then I guess it was never blessed of the Lord, and I shouldn't have got married in the first place. No wonder I feel like I'm supposed to leave. No, get born again and get right with God, and you're filled with love, and you'll see it totally different. Yay. You follow me? Look, Pam's the only one that doesn't agree, so let her leave. That's fine. Everybody else stay. We love you. We love you. Hey, did you make that bread?
Deb made the bread.
Deb made it. Thank you. Thank you. Because I was wondering. Because it was good, and communion was anointed today. Thank you. Bless you. We love you. So, that's just a long answer. And you still have questions? It's fine. Comment.
It's just amazing, like my question just came, because it's something that's called and considered to be so beautiful, and yet what it really turns out to be is this evil thing.
Watch this.
And no, I'm agreeing with you.
No, this is old. Yeah, no, I want to make a comment in what you said, because I want to say it to the class. I know you are. Oh, I totally know you are. Watch this. I've preached this for years. Would Satan, do people counterfeit $1 bills?
No.
Like mass counterfeit. That's rare. $1 bills. Like to counterfeit a $1 bill. It's not worth it. Watch this. Would Satan go to the extreme to exploit sexuality to the degree he has through pornography, through all the stuff, the whole sexual thing and what it is blown up. It's on every commercial. It's on every advertisement. The exploitation of women. The whole sexy thing. The whole just move and curve of the body. The whole look of the eye. The pressure that you women come under because of it to measure up and fit in and feel like a woman, which is all trash and from hell. Don't let it get on your soul. Just be most beautiful woman from the inside out you could ever be, and it will be well with you. If you come under that yoke, God forbid. Now listen to me. Would Satan, the whole romance, sleep together, hitting, scoring, every movie is not without, every movie is full of it. It's the gist of every movie. It's in every movie. The prime actors, the whole, the love scenes, the behind the scenes, the closed door, the intimate fling, Would it be so exploited and so extreme and so engrafted and so in front of you if there wasn't some amazing, holy, beautiful, pure, and true place there? Would he go to the extreme he has gone if he wasn't trying to cover something so amazing? He's a counterfeiter, he's a deceiver, he's a liar. And if he ever knew what he was doing, he wouldn't have put Jesus on the cross, but he did. So let's cover up the beauty of redemption and what it really means. And let's let him proclaim the name of the Lord and sing about the Lord and attend services in the Lord and wear a Christian identity. But let's keep him from seeing the beauty of a transformed, redeemed life and soul and emotions. And let's keep him from ever knowing what it means to be filled with his fullness and walk in love. That's his plan. Because I'm telling you, I've pastored young people. It makes me cry. I can hardly talk about it without crying. Countless young people driven by the need to match up, hook up, and fit in and feel lovely and feel worthy. And you can only find that through Jesus. Only. It is frivolous and useless to try to find your identity through a relationship. The only reason you have a relationship should be because you found your identity. Because if you have a relationship to find your identity, you're already in big trouble. You have a relationship because you found your identity. Y'all all right? Teenagers, young people by the score. Most adult singles groups in churches, especially huge seeker-friendly churches or meat markets. I've been around them. I've ministered to the people that attend them, and they're almost blasphemous to me. It's people wearing the identity single, adult, instead of fulfilled in Christ. Wearing the identity available and looking. Serious. Available and looking. And then you all go into the room in a Christian singles club. What does that mean? You walk in the room and here's what's in the atmosphere. Wow. Ooh.
Whoa.
Because you're going there for one reason. I'm available and I'm searching. And hey, well, yeah, but I don't want to go to the bars and I don't want to go where the world goes, so this is safe. It's the same motive and it's just as much sin. How's that? When all that stuff's motivating you. You might as well go to a bar and then one day get right and get saved and get born again instead of learn to be religious and be deceived and maybe stay that way. How's that? I'm just talking plain. Some of this stuff needs addressed. So you're going there with motive and intention and Jesus is the cover up. I'll tell you what, you single folks get intimate with Him and get face to face with Him, you won't feel alone and you won't be in need. And now the strength of your, watch this. God can actually draw someone to who He is in you. But until He sees who He is in you, why would He draw someone to you? Because He'd be drawing them to yourself. So who's connecting and hooking up? The Spirit of God or people? When it's God, it's because He sees Himself in them. Spouses come to me and they're hurting and their spouse just left or their spouse is this and that. Pray that my spouse come back. Pray that my spouse. I said, I ain't praying that at all. I'm not praying that. What do you mean? It's God's will that we be married. I pray that they come back. I said, no, this is not about your spouse. This is about you. I pray that God get formed in you so much that God has someone to bring them back to called Himself. Because why would He answer your prayer and just bring them back to you? Look how much of a mess you are right now. Look how dependent you are right now. Look how hurt and offended and broken you are right now. And you think it's about them coming back? It's about you getting free and knowing who you are in Him. And then He has someone to bring them back to. That's how I talk to spouses when the door's closed. That's why none of you maybe will ever come to me. That's exactly how I talk to people when the door's closed. I promise you. Why? Because that will save your life. And that'll snap you back to truth. And instead of you just feeling sorry for yourself and why did God let this happen and well, I don't know why they backslid and I'm so hurt it'll take me years to get over this. And all of a sudden you believe all that and you live all that. Next thing you know, you're in another relationship and you're just a crippled mess putting a Band-Aid over your life and reducing that person to the value of meeting your need. How's that for real? Told you it's my hair color. It's Jesus. It's in Jesus. If we understand love, how can't these things be true? Actually, when I'm speaking them, they're easily seen and understood because of the light we're speaking them in. But in everyday life, feelings and human, it gets foggy and all of a sudden we lose that revelation because it's still about us. You understand what I mean? And all of a sudden the way that seems right to man is just our normal. And then people will rise up in the flesh and say, well, but it's not wrong to, well, yeah, but, and yet, and you can hear people defending the weakness instead of pursuing the strength because it'll be the greatest day of their life to be free. You don't want me to need you. You want me to love you. I don't want you to need me. I would be better off for you to love me. In the big picture, when we become love, that's the will of God. Now, the beautiful thing is if I am love and you need me, I'll still be okay and I'll have something to minister and give. Not enable, to give and minister, vice versa. But the key is that you become love and get your eyes off of everyone else. That's where your freedom is. You following? You guys all right? Okay, you raised your hand. Yeah.
Yeah, I have to ask this question. I think it's for the girl.
Look, she looks mad. She's got that mad at Joe look. Are you like, no, I'm teasing. That's the best mad look she has right there. That's the look she gave me when she was mad at Joe. I was mad at Joe. So mad. I was just so mad. I just can't get that out of my head. I think of it all the time. It's the greatest testimony in the world. Yeah, you're precious. What'd you say? She has the temperament of a marshmallow. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to flush y'all up and focus on you and all that. It's just we love you. You're a good example to people. You are.
All right, well, thanks. Okay, so I run a lot of teenage girls, which is good, but I get to hear their thoughts a lot. And one of the things that you get, just what you're talking about, just made me think of when a guy looks at a girl. Right, and they do the whole up and down thing. And girls aren't stupid. You can't miss that or anything, you know. So the girl's mind goes to a place like, well, they want to be flattered, but the other part is, oh, that's just creepy. Like, what's the proper response? Do you know what I mean? Like, where does your heart go with that? Do you pray for him in your head?
First of all, you recognize where he's coming from, and you don't even for an ounce. You tell these girls the flattery thing is a zero. That's play. You know, that's flesh feeding flesh. So the flattery, that just means, honey, you need to see who you are. You don't need flattered by that. There's a creepy side to it. Why? Because it doesn't value your integrity, your honor. It just wants to use you to fulfill its desire. So it's checking you out. It's measuring you up to see if you meet the need. And your life is so much more than that. So see it for what it is. And don't you dare, young lady, be flattered by it. Because it has nothing to do with that. Because that reveals a low esteem, a little need in a woman's life to be appreciated, to feel lovely, to feel lovable. Because the world has put a yoke over you girls if you receive it of what beautiful is and to be lavishing and to be all that and they're all this and the beauty aids and the whole nine yards. And I'm not saying it's wrong makeup. I'm talking about getting the wrinkles out and looking young and being all that. And no, you be the best, absolute, maturing, growing woman of God. And don't you dare even open your thoughts up to mid-life crisis. What is that? Come on. You're not trying to be what everybody else is trying to be. You're being the best you and who you are, and you're walking through your life in growth and maturity, and you shine. You're not trying to be a young girl. You're not trying. What are you trying to do? Can I be raw with this? What are we trying to do? Create that? Get people to look at us? What do we want? The king to want us and Abraham to have to lie? What are we trying? Do we want people to lust us or love us? Talk like that to young ladies. I've talked to, this is why I get emotional. Can you hear my emotion right away when I go there? I think it's in, cause this is real. I'm talking out of my heart. I love people. I've laid my life down for this thing. But I have had countless young women with that conversation right there. And I plead with them with tears and tell them who they are. And don't you sell cheap. Are you kidding me? You've been bought with the blood. Know who you are, young lady. You don't need a man sizing you up and fantasizing and making you feel like you're the one. He can do that with anybody. I tell girls, he can do that with a man, with a woman on a picture. I said, you'll never be one in a million. You're one of millions. If you sell to that. That's what I tell young. I get right in their face and tell them that. And they know it's true, but needs pull in weakness. And some of them have just been beaten down in such a way where they so feel like they're so short in the area of beauty or womanhood or desirable that it's just there feeding that area of their life. I had countless young girls that, and then they come back bawling. They sit in my office. They've done it so many times. They sit there and they bawl because they crossed that line only as soon as it was happening to realize it's not the answer. Mm-hmm. And violate their conscience and crush themselves. And now they feel it. And then some of them feel like, well, I'm used goods now. Why not just sell out to whoever and just ride the emotion of it? I'm spoiled goods. What's it matter now? I've heard that one too. So a young girl crosses the line and gives herself and breaks the vow of her youth. And all of a sudden she sees herself as stained, as used. And she says, oh, well, whatever. Now I feel so dirty. I wonder now if I did this, if anybody else will want me. And they go in the same lie that crushed them to be crushed more and more. I've been through all that with women, cried with them, hugged them, and prayed over them to see them restored. It breaks my heart that we have to be driven by that kind of insecurity when the truth of us is in Christ. It's not in a boy. It's not in a man or a woman. The truth is in Christ. And you can only be in the healthy place with a man or a woman if you're in Christ. It's just the way that I had one young girl crying and crying and crying because she knew what I was saying was true, but yet she had need. And in the natural, she would have been what every one of you said was just a beautiful young lady. Just a beautiful, and she just felt like she was like some ugly duckling and just needed this boy to want her. And she set her sights on this boy to just want her. And I said, that is not what you need. You're going to wake up. You're going to open up your eyes. This thing's going to happen and you're going to go, what have I done? And it's going to rock you and Satan's going to condemn you and da, 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 da. And I started sharing about what she's looking for in a man and out of the fullness of God. And here's what she said. She cried and cried and cried and said, but there's nobody out there like that. There's no boys like that. I said, so you're supposed to sell cheap and be demeaned to what's out there? I said, no, you take a stand for honor and integrity and you draw Christ up and out of some man. You be a prize to be won. Stand in your integrity and let a man come clean. And that's how I preached to her. She went, watch. 2 weeks later, can we talk? Sure. Sure. She sits in my office, sits down. It would happen all the time. It was a joke in the office. A lot of people didn't know what was going on. They'd say, were you in Pastor Dan's office? Yeah. Oh. Everybody goes in there. They cry. They come out crying. Happens to me. I just walk in to give him a message. I cry. It was like a joke through the office, but it wasn't a joke. It's just because there's passion. It's serious. This thing is real. It's not a game. And people are... It's costing people a lot when we don't walk in truth and we sell into those lies. So I am passionate to them young girls to show them who they are. And you don't want that to feed you. You do not need a man to look you up and down. You know what I mean? Because you tell them exactly what it's feeding, what it's suggesting and what it's satisfying. And I paint the picture to young girls, Cause some of them do the whole, you know, they get in their relationships and they do the whole, just try to play the part. I mean, they're acting out pornography, if you ask me. They're trying to wow their man. And teaching him to lust them and never love them. And then they're under the pressure of keeping pace with that. Because that's what they've fed. So now I have to stay entertaining and exciting and keep them turned on. And we're in the world and of it. And our Christian confession becomes very, very, very dull. Wow, we left the tape running for this one, Wiley.
So they have that understanding. The girls are starting to get that and have that understanding. But they still don't know what to do when they're in that situation because it's going to happen. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, it's going to happen. They're not compelled to do anything. They don't have to straighten the boy out.
No, they just don't need to be blind. I don't know, for some reason I'm not getting that part. Like, where did they go? Did they just, like, shut it off?
In their heart, to keep sober in what that is, in their heart, God have mercy on him. He obviously doesn't see who he is. And he sure doesn't see who I am.
Amen.
Oh, he thinks he does, but open his eyes. Because there's a beauty he hasn't beheld. Amen. It's true. Because it'll keep the girl sober and she'll never bite that bait. She'll never eat the fruit of that tree. She'll never sell out. She'll never buy in. Why would you? Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Judas walked with Jesus. Watched his miracles. Ate with him. Fellowship with him. Who knows? Maybe hugged him. I don't know their culture. Judas had to be intimate with Jesus in the way of relationship. True?
Yeah.
Had to be. Mm-hmm. And found himself behind the scenes saying, what will you give me to betray him? And he sold out the revelation of Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And here's what Satan believes, especially for every young woman and young man, that we all have a Christian confession, but we all have a sellout price. Listen to the lie. What will you give me to step away from him? You want to grow in a place where you have no sellout price. There is no, you've been bought with a price. You want a no occupancy sign on you. All the rooms are filled. No occupancy. I'm not for sale. Because what is that price for some? A little fling? A little emotional pleasure? A little sexual pleasure? A little... What is a sellout price? What will we give? What will you give me to live outside of him? That's a place you can get alone with him and talk about that. Have no sellout price. Father, thank you for keeping me sharp and never deceived. God, the way I understand it, I have no desire of the flesh. And if there be anything there I don't understand, thank you for crushing it now as I pray. But I'm getting up and out of this place more aware and more confident of your ability to keep me in truth than my ability to fall. I have no need but you, and I thank you. You've come and I am free. That's how we pray. Christians don't pray like that a lot of times. They just pray about stuff. Okay, we're late, way late, way late. You guys are done. School's over. Father, we just thank you right now. We just thank you, God. We just bless you. I don't know why I'm hearing to do this, but can we do this? Can we stand to our feet right now? Just stand to your feet and honor him just for a sec. Just yield to him. I think I see what we're doing. Lord Jesus, we just stand before you and we honor you as King. We stand as a sign of honor. I know there's things we need to pack up and get going and wrap up, but right now we just stop everything. And we stand in honor of you. And we stand before you and say we yield to you and we ask you to have your way in us. Continue to manifest truth to us and through us. But we stand in honor of you. We say your way is right and righteous. Only you have the words of life and the way of life. And we thank you through this gospel, through the cross of Jesus and his resurrection, you are setting us apart from the way that seems right to a man. Consume us with truth. And thank you for your love. In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Bless you guys. Love you guys. Yay.